Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. Today on Piano Jazz, my guest is Julian Lage, a brilliant young guitarist who's not only a phenomenal player, but he's an exciting composer too. He's a protege of Gary Burton, and he has absorbed a great deal from this master while developing his own style. How are you, Julian?
I'm doing wonderful, thank you. How are you?
Good, but it's so good to see you, and thank you for making this trip to be on Piano Jazz.
Oh, God, it's such an honor to be here. I would come any day.
Well, here you are on this day.
Yeah.
And you live in California
I live out in Santa Rosa, California, which is in about an hour north of San Francisco.
Are you from California?
I am, yeah. I live there with my family, and I love it out there, but it's such a treat to fly to New York, and I've been fortunate to come here a lot lately, so.
Oh, well, that's great.
Yeah.
But how did you get started playing?
Well, I started playing guitar when I was 5 years old, and it was kind of interesting because my brother started playing.
Yeah.
And he wasn't that interested in it, but I just thought it was really hip. And so that inspired my dad to start playing, and then inspired me to ask for a guitar when I was 4 years old.
No kidding. You asked for it. That's a sure way to know that you were interested.
Definitely. So my parents said, when you're five, we'll get you one. And sure enough, when I was five, my parents got me one. And it was just really cool because my father would show me everything he learned at his lessons. And I feel really fortunate because what he was learning was how to improvise. So the very first thing I learned was a pentatonic scale. And he said, I'm going to play, you know, a chord progression. I want you just to solo over it. And that was kind of, I learned that for the first year before I learned theory and technique. And
well, you're evidently doing very well, I would say. How about we should play a tune?
I would love that.
What can we play?
I love I Hear Rhapsody.
Let's play that. Would be great. And all, it's funny because here we are. We just met.
Yeah.
We're sitting down. We're going to play together. That's what's so fascinating to me about jazz.
Absolutely.
You meet somebody and bang,
exactly.
You start playing. And we're lucky. We've got a wonderful bassist with us today, Gary Mazzarappi.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic
player. So that will round things out. So, okay, let's
give
play. Boy, that really felt good.
That felt wonderful. You sound amazing. Both of you sound amazing.
Well, thank you. Well, when you got started, how did you learn tunes? Did your father have a record player and you'd play records? And
That was definitely part of it. My parents had lots of music, and two records I remember them having. One was, they had Giant Steps, I remember, and they had a Jobim record. And I listened to them a lot. I don't think I ever learned those tunes until much later. But I would listen to those, and then I went to teachers who would, you know, that would teach me how to fake books and whatnot, and then give me records to listen to. So I feel like it was kind of split equal. A lot of stuff I learned from books and a lot of stuff I learned off of records. But
oh, that's pretty good.
It was good. I felt it was a good balance. As I get older, I feel like I'm more drawn to learning them by ear, you know, because I can hear subtleties that I can't find in the books.
Actually, you also took classical lessons,
I did.
Too, didn't you?
That helped tremendously with the reading. I remember I had sight singing classes and classical guitar classes and at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music, and I loved it because it kind of made me understand what I was doing when I played by ear. Like, oh, that's what it looks like, you know, to write it out. And
well, that's great. I mean, it gives you an advantage.
Absolutely.
Over somebody like me, I can, you know, somebody puts a sheet of music in front of me.
What does it mean?
What's it mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
What are all these little dots?
God. I think it gets overwhelming sometimes. There's too many dots, you know?
Yeah.
You have to cleanse yourself and not read for a while.
Well, in my case, that's easy. But I love that. You have to cleanse yourself and not read for a while. I love that.
Yeah.
Must remember. Well, let's do another tune. That felt so good. The only thing to do is do another one.
I would love to. Let's see. What about I Should Care?
That's a good tune.
Let's do that.
It's a good one.
Okay, let's play that. Thank you.
Well, I got the last word on that tune.
Yeah, it was funny listening to see who was going to get it.
Yeah, I know. We kept looking at one another and play one more, just one more
just
note.
Just one more. But I think you had to finish that off to make it perfect.
Well, that's such a nice tune. It sort of plays itself, doesn't it, really?
It's true. It's true.
Well, when you got started, when you went out into the world, how old were you, about in your teens?
You mean when I first started playing professionally?
Yes.
You know, I was actually younger because I was a blues guitar player first. I played a lot of blues gigs, and I remember the earliest stuff, I think I was about 8 or 9.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I remember I did this one. I sat in with Carlos Santana at this place in California, and I was 8 then.
Now, how did you get to sit in with him? I mean, did somebody know him?
There was someone who knew him, and I went to see him when I was 7 with my father, and we went out to this concert, and someone said, oh, you have to meet him. So we went backstage, and he's just a lovely person, and he said, oh, try my guitar out, you know. So I played a little bit, and he asked me to play That Night with him, which
oh,
was
no
when
kidding.
I was 7, and myself and my father both saying, wait, that's a little too soon, like, thank you, but I said I didn't feel ready. He said, okay, well, in a year from now, I'll be here again, so come back in a year. And I sure enough did, and it just was...
So what did you play?
We played, I don't even remember. I think it was a tune by the Funkadelics. And it was a long, you know, improvised
piece.
These
were blues?
Yeah, definitely blues-based. And I think when I was the same year, I started getting more into jazz. Because I saw the connections between blues and jazz, and I wanted to follow it.
I'm glad you did, because I can never see the difference. To me, blues is part of jazz.
Absolutely.
To me, it's all one big, wonderful, improvisatory piece of music.
Exactly. That's true.
Meanwhile, I'd love to hear you do a solo piece.
Yeah, I would love to do it.
Would you do that for
me? Sure. I really like playing My Funny Valentine.
That's such a great tune.
I love it.
That's one of the... Always, it'll always be there.
Exactly.
Tunes.
It's just one that I've played so many times, and I'll try that as a solo piece.
But doesn't it come out different every time?
It's so true. I play it a lot with Gary Burton's band, and every night it's fun to figure out how I can do it differently or how I can rearrange it. So today we'll see what happens.
Oh, that's great. And I'm going to sit back and watch you play Funny Valentine.
Well, thank you. Here I go.
Okay. Thank you. Boy, Funny Valentine is such a sad tune.
Yeah, it is.
Or it can be, but it's like you were sort of in between. It wasn't that sad, but it had these beautiful changes.
Well, thank you. It's one of those tunes where you nailed it on the head. Like, you can either go one way with it or you can go the really sad way. And it's harmonically one of the most interesting tunes to play around with, you know. I have fun trying to...
You've really gone into it,
haven't
you? Yeah,
definitely.
You really have. Well, I know what I was going to ask you. How did you get to meet Gary Burton?
Gary, that was actually kind of a surreal situation for me. When I was 12, I played on the Grammy Awards as part of this group of musicians, young musicians. Actually, Matthew Brewer was on bass, who's a really great bass player in New York City.
How long ago was that?
It was in 2000, I think. I was very fortunate to be a part of that. And Gary was either in the audience or he was watching it on TV. I forget which. But it wasn't more than about a month or two later that I got a letter from him saying, you know, my name is Gary Byrne. I'm interested in playing with you at this upcoming gig that was in Monterey, California, which is not too far from me. So, of course, I was just amazed and very honored. And I, of course, accepted. And we played this first gig. And it was kind of intense because my first gig with Gary, and it was guitar, bass, and vibes. And then Herbie Hancock came and sat in with us because he was in the audience.
Oh my goodness, you must have been thrilled.
I was so thrilled. So that's kind of how our relationship started. So that, from there, we went on the QE2 jazz cruise in a quintet with Makoto Zone and a bunch of other fabulous musicians.
There's a wonderful piano player.
Amazing. So basically every year from that date on, we would do a mini tour, a few gigs. And then about a year and a half ago, he started this band with Lucas Curtis on bass, Vadim Neslovsky on piano, and James Williams on drums. And that's really when we started to move forward as a collaboration.
Oh, I think that's great.
I'm so thrilled. I feel so blessed, you know, to be in this situation.
Well, and more things will be happening as life goes on.
Exactly, I hope
more
so.
More good things.
I hope so.
Well, there's much more coming up with Julian Large. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR.
Well, I would love to hear you play a solo piece if you'd be interested.
Well, I'm interested. The thing is, can I play something good?
Yeah, the answer is yes.
I'll try. I was thinking maybe I'll try something by Hoagy Carmichael.
Yeah.
He's got this, talking about sad tunes.
Yeah.
New Orleans, do you know that one?
Oh, yeah, that's a beautiful tune.
I thought I'd play that one.
Let's hear it. I'd love to hear it.
Okay. Here goes.
Thank you.
Wow, Marian, that was so beautiful. That's a song that I've heard before and I loved, and just your harmonic approach to that alone just was beyond anything I've ever heard. And the way you played it was so thoughtful and just beautiful.
I was thinking of the town. I was thinking of New Orleans.
Yeah. God, there's a lot of emotion there to draw from.
Maybe he was thinking about something like that when he wrote it, because I can't ask him now when he wrote it.
Yeah.
I could have a while ago. Well, there's more to come with Julien Lage on guitar. And Gary Mesarupi is joining us on bass. Our program is made possible in part by the Baldwin Piano Company. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. I was looking at your guitar. It's a very unusual looking.
It is.
It doesn't look like your average
guitar.
Strumming type guitar.
It's true. It's made by Linda Manzer, who's a Canadian builder, and she lives in Toronto. She's absolutely amazing. My guitar's it's an archtop guitar, and it's a laminate of a 5-ply maple and mahogany alternating, and it's so unique. I've never played a guitar like it, and I absolutely love it. And I've had it for, God, probably about 5 or 6 years now.
Well, now, I'm just wondering, how does a guitar player go searching for an unusual guitar?
It's tricky. It's a tricky kind of process, because there's so many out there, you know, hundreds and thousands of guitars and different types, and it's hard to find what's perfect. I met her, oddly enough, at a guitar show that was being held probably 10 minutes from my house.
No kidding.
And I was like, I should go check this out. And I went and I played that guitar and I fell in love with it. And all her guitars take about 4 years to build. That's the waiting list. I said, so I wrote her an email after that show. I said, you know, I don't know if I can wait that long, but just how much is a guitar? Are there any more like it? And she's like, oh, you should try that one. I was like, well, you know, I don't know if I can buy it right now. She said, well, I'm going to send it to you, and then you let me know what you want to do. And, of course, that was the end of it. You know, it's once you have it in your hands, you just...
Yeah, I guess she knew that, too.
She knew, exactly. She knew I'd move heaven and earth for it. And she's
so
like,
you didn't have to wait 4 years.
No, I waited probably, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, and then I was playing that guitar, and I've been in love with it ever since, and she's a great woman and a real, real artist.
Well, that's great. You really told a good story.
Well, thank you.
No wonder it sounds so good.
Oh, well, thank you.
In fact, it's about time you got to play it again.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
What should we play? My Romance.
Let's do that.
A good tune.
I love that tune. I've been playing that a reharmonized version a lot lately, so I'm excited to just play the traditional version with you.
Well, why don't you start out and do a reharmonized?
Okay, yeah.
And then go into the regular.
Sounds great.
Let's do that.
See what I come up with.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Boy, that's really a fun tune to play, my romance.
I love it. It's so fun playing it with you because you pick up everything I think of most of the time before I think of it.
Oh, gosh. Well, it's very easy and fun to play with you. And, of course, it's great having such a good bass player.
He's holding it down tremendously.
He really is, isn't he?
Yeah. He sounds excellent.
So what about... We haven't heard any tunes of yours.
That's right. Well,
you do compose.
I do compose, and I've started doing it a lot more recently since I started playing with Gary Burton's band because I wanted to bring some stuff to the table. We have Vadim Nezalovsky's our piano player in that band, and he's one of just my favorite composers. But just his influence and his presence in the band has made me want to write more. And one of the tunes I wrote that I think I'd like to play today is called Clarity, and it was something I actually wrote. It's definitely about my girlfriend, and I feel like it captured just this feeling of just kind of what I was feeling at the time, which is that I was going out on the road, and I knew I'd be away from home for a while to go out with Gary, and I just wanted to write a piece to kind of, you know, acknowledge that. So, and it was cool because as a duet piece, I think it sounds best. I've played this piece with many musicians, and when I brought it to Gary for our latest record, he said, we have to do this as a duet. And everyone I play it with, it's usually a good duet piece because there's a lot of interaction and a lot of space for things to happen.
Well, I'm dying to hear you and Gary play this. It should be great.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
Oh, that's a great tune.
Thank you.
And you and Gary played it beautifully.
Well, thank you very much. You really added a lot to it. That's what I love about it. I think it brings out, you know, a lot of interesting things in other players.
Well, and it's like so many other pieces. There's so many different ways you can harmonize it and
absolutely.
Things you can do.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm also very interested that you wanted to do one of my pieces.
Definitely. I've been really anxious to do this with you for a long time, and especially when you first called me to play and do this show, I just thought it'd be the best outing to play one of your tunes.
Well, I'm really thrilled. And this one's called Twilight World. I don't know where that title came
I like
from.
It. It fits it perfectly.
But I'm dying to hear you and Gary on bass.
Yeah.
Play this. I'm going to be thrilled to hear it.
Well, cool.
That really sounded nice.
Well, thank you.
You have no idea how wonderful it is to hear somebody else play your tune.
Your own tune.
And play it so well. and make it in. It was sort of like a bossa nova. We haven't.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was good.
Well, thank you. I can't tell you how how nervous I get just knowing that I'm playing it for you as the composer. So I was like, I just don't want to mess it up. I don't want to mess it up.
And you should know how happy I am to hear somebody playing it.
Well, thank
and
you.
I'm really having fun with my guest, Julien Lage, and we've got Gary Mazzarapi on bass. Our program is made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR, on the web at pianojazz.npr.org. Well, just for a change, I would love to do a free piece.
That sounds great.
Do you like to try one of those?
I love playing free, and I think it's a really great way of developing a connection with another musician, you know, and especially for us, this is our first time playing together, but already it's like we have this, you know, long time friendship and relationship. So I think a free piece would be a great way to express that.
All right. So let's have a go at
it. Let's give it a shot.
Okay. Thank you. I love doing those things.
I thought that was so much fun.
And you can, actually, you can pick a little piece out of there and make a little melody out of it if you want to.
It's true. And so, when I was playing with you, I just was so aware of how compositional, melodic your free playing was, you know, because it was just, I could follow it, and it was almost like you were guiding me on this tour through melodies and harmonies. And
it's like, funny, I felt just the way that you were doing.
Well, that's so cool, so it's mutual, you know?
Wow,
it's so fun to play with you.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's the same for me, and I can't believe we're almost through.
No,
it's a shame.
I want to start all over.
We've only got one more tune to
one
play.
One more tune.
And
well, we have to make it a good one.
Well, there's no doubt about that.
What should we do? We should do something more up-tempo. Maybe You and the Night and the Music.
Well, that would be a good one.
I like that tune a lot.
Oh, me too. At least that's one guy I know who wrote that tune, Arthur Schwartz.
Yeah.
Dietz and Schwartz. I don't know why I remember that, but I do.
That's so cool.
Yeah. All right, let's see what we can do with this tune.
Okay, let's see. Have our hand at it.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, that was...
That was really fun.
That was really fun. You're just such a blast to play with.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with Marian McPartland. Her guest has been Julian Lage. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson. Recording engineer, Duke Marcos. Assistant recording engineer, Tae Kim. Mastering engineer, David Mitchell. Production coordinator, David Lyon. Executive producer, Elaine Freeman. If you wish to contact us, our email address is pj@scetv.org. Address postal correspondence to Piano Jazz, SCETV Radio, 1101 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. Support for Piano Jazz comes from Jazz Times Magazine, now celebrating its 40th anniversary of delivering jazz news, insight, and opinion at newsstands everywhere and on the web at jazztimes.com. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and NPR. Contributors include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. This is NPR.